How many of you know how wonderful it is for ladies to gather like this and worship together? Love one another. Support each other. Say, I'm hanging in there with you. To not let petty stuff separate you. You're not mad at your home. You came. You forgive them and you came. You got all that stuff straight and you're here and the enemy's mad. You're glorifying God and he can't stand it. So here's what I want us to do. I want you to sing that song, not quite as loud if you could. No, just for this reason. Just for this reason. Because I want you to walk around and hug each other's neck while this is being played. Because you're demonstrating the fact that he's glorified and you're loving one another and us being here to help each other. And it's just a great time that he's going to honor, come, bless us as well. So would you take a bit, 3 or 4 months? Dude, go away from your table. Go way to the other end. Go to the back to the lonely people. You know, go to the sides, to people on the sides. Love them. And go ahead. Let's just sing it right now. Just sing it. All right, ladies, if you'd begin to make your way to your seats, that would be wonderful. The greatest thing you can do, one of the greatest things you can do, is to keep your relationships clean. To keep your relationships clean and dwell with women as much as possible, the Bible says, uses men, but you got the point. As much as possible, dwell with them in peace. If you got an issue, settle it. If you got unforgiveness, deal with it. If you got some immaturity going on, call it what it is, childishness. There's a child in every one of us, yes? Who's still alive. You ever do anything that surprises you? Oh, Lord, I thought she was gone. But there she is. All right. Best thing you can ever do. And apologize if you're wrong. Say I'm wrong. Don't fight for it. Just give it up. Die. Move on. Because that keeps everything clean, doesn't it? And what we need more than anything else is relationships like this. I'll say more about that. But last night, we had so many things that happened until I want one young lady to come up and just without going into any details, but she had the most passion. Hand me that mic, Dan. She had the most passion when she said, thank you. You'll never know because last night set me free. And you've been suffering for how long?
Over 20 years.
Over 20 years, and she says, that the enemy just beat her up every day of her life. And she said, I just suffered and suffered and suffered. And it was an abortion. And she came up and she gave me such a hug. That she says, I want you to know that for the first time since 20 years ago, I'm free. Anything you want to add to that?
I don't know, ladies, it's just a weight, and anything that you're carrying, just let it go. Mm-hmm. Ask for forgiveness, pray for it, and I just didn't know how.
We don't want to miss the words you say.
I didn't know how until you guys told me last night, you know, to just give it to him, write it down, present it to him, you know, be truthful in it, don't hide it. Megan, I thank you for giving us the words to stay. Stop playing the games and putting it in the back of our heads, letting it, you know, be behind us, because it's not behind us. It happened, and I just thank God that I found a way through the gift that is given to, you know, this staff here and how they just let us, you know, just come before them and give it out. And, you know, my shame is my shame. I can't take that away, but God has forgiven me for that. And I just thank you guys for letting me have that release and being blessed by God to be here, and I thank you.
All right, let's go. Come on, wait, not yet. Let's go back to scriptural days where if something happened, you had to go show yourself to the priest, and he would make a declaration, which sometimes you'd have to go outside the camp because of whatever was going on with the illness. And back in those days, even though they didn't know anything about germs, God set it up to protect his people. Then they would come back when the issue was taken care of, whatever it was, and the priest would then examine the person and make a declaration. And that's one of the reasons why it says in Scripture, it says, as far as the church goes, whoever sins are remitted, whoever sins they forgive is forgiven. And of course, Catholic Church, you know, goes big time on that. But there's a lot of truth in that. And so I want to say to you, as your pastor, I want to declare you free. I want to declare you clean. I want to declare you shameless. And I want to declare over you that there would be a mantle of healing, and there would be women by the thousands before your life is over that you administer to and set free in Jesus' name. Virginia, would you come up? This is ex-Virginia Williamson, who's over our counting and has been with us at the church for years and years. And Virginia went through a terrible, terrible divorce. Just 10 years. And just biblically walked through it and did her best. Didn't work. And just then was brokenhearted and worked through the church and kind of poured yourself into the church.
Hi. that was actually back in 2006, 2007. It's hard to believe it was that long ago, but I had joined the staff in 2003 or four, so I was fairly new to the church then, but really decided during that season that where I was going to be was I was going to search God for God and what he had for my life, and if that meant me being me, just me, then that was going to be the way it was or whatever he had for me.
So Virginia made a decision not to go looking on all the bars and places. And,
I didn't.
Yep.
I was me.
And you were you, and so she worked. She was in the Christmas program, the Easter stuff, and so everybody that would start to like get engaged or something, I would, every mail, I would say, you better make a move. You got another one getting ready to sail here. You got to do something, Virginia. Just get it on. And so after how many years?
What, 6 or 7 years, mm-hmm. Actually, and I really had not had any serious relationships during that time, and plenty of people trying to set me up and do all that, but anyway, after 6 or 7 years, I reconnected with someone who I'd known for 20-something years, and I was telling Mike, reminding him earlier that it was actually at the ladies' retreat 4 years ago when I had reconnected with him, and we were driving, it was in Hilton Head at the time, we were driving, Meg and Mace were in the car, and I said, so, there's this guy, and as we pulled onto Hilton Head, and that was a September retreat. I was engaged at Christmas, married March 1st, and you know, we now have an almost 2-year-old, and so it's amazing how God's so faithful. I don't even know what to say.
Absolutely wonderful man.
Oh, unbelievable, incredibly. God just said, okay, here's what you want. Here's what you feel like you need, but here's what I know you need, and I'm going to just give you so much more. And he did. Oh, he did.
And you were living here, and he was living in?
Lexington, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Which kind of messed, and God really hooked messed up my world. Because I had said, whoever I find, all right, God, the only stipulation I'm giving you is they had to be in Charleston. And the only stipulation, the only thing that was different was he wasn't. And Meg said, have you told my dad? That was.
So anyway, it just, every time we see Virginia, every time we talk, it just gives me great delight in her faithfulness and God just reaching out of Kentucky, taking an old boy, connecting here to a girl in South Carolina, having a wonderful marriage and a wonderful child. Bam, 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 there it is.
And she still works in the church we did with
her. Yes, exactly right.
And I'm still there, and I got to come back this weekend, and we come back a good bit, so I'm around, and my family's in Charleston, and so still being connected with the church is just beyond incredible. So I don't even know. God just lined it all up and said, check, 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 there you go.
So for every single person here who's believing, what would you tell them?
I would say, stay true to what you know God has for you. Don't at all defer from it, because I can't even tell you, he will give you so much more than what you ever, ever, ever in life think you need. And it's so good. It's just so good.
All right, ladies, take your Bibles out, take your phones out, take your iPads out, computers, whatever you got your Bible on, pull it out, get your notes ready, and let's dive in. I want to talk to you about faith and hope. Faith and hope. Hebrews chapter 1 says this. Now, faith is the substance. I'll let you get there. Hebrews chapter 1. I used to hear turning of pages, now I hear clicks. Hebrews chapter 1. You ready? All right. Everybody look at me just for a moment. Father, I pray that you use the next few moments and that you would speak to us. That this is the way that you intended, at least for the kingdom to happen. You said there's fivefold ministries. There's people like preachers and all other people, teachers, who then will do what we're doing now. We'll sit around, open your word. And you said there would be a gift that would be in operation. And that gift, that anointing that you put, would work. And because of that anointing that's in the room, that there would be an impartation, there would be revelation. There would be understanding that would happen, that things would be quickened to hearts that only you can do. That is what you created as the body of Christ and how it is to function. So we sit, we're in that arena, that pattern. And now we ask you, would you just let happen what you intended to happen when you set this up? In Jesus' name, amen. So now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is very different than what the world classifies hope and uses it. Hope is like a wish in our culture. I wish something would happen. I hope it happens. And I wish it wouldn't rain tomorrow. Biblical hope is an excitable expectation of a future happening, whether it's a breakthrough, a miracle. It's an expectation that's very real. Now, watch this with me if you can, because faith now is the very substance of that which is not seen, but that which is hoped for. Hope is, in fact, the expectation. Faith is the substance. And by it, the elders obtained a good report. By it, they lived. By it being what? Faith. How did they get a good report? How did they say, God said you did a good job? Because they were men and women that live by, say it with me, faith. And faith is connected with hope. So there were men and women of hope and faith. Faith is just something that Adam operated in. He gave it to, he breathed into Adam. God's operating style and what he uses to create things and for him to do life is faith. He created men and women. And the way we are intended to live life is through faith. Learning how to believe for something that's not yet seen and stand and believe for it and have evidence to come deep down inside of us and a conviction that that's going to happen and not move. That is our currency, friend, as men and women of God. That is how we are lived. We're to live by faith, by hope. Now, Genesis 15, 18 says this. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. Now, one of the pillars I think that we should live our life is the pillars of the fact that God has a purpose for us. Do you believe God has a purpose for you? Do you be individually that you don't just exist, that you're on track to something? That in fact, just as sure you're sitting here, there is a destined future for you. There are these boundaries that he gave Abraham for what this land would be. And there's boundaries for you and boundaries for me. Now, those boundaries, the only way we get there, though, friends, is we get there by faith. We get there by not believing as it shows up. If you are here and your boundary is here to be enlarged, how do you get there? If in fact, God has more for you in a certain area, how do you get there? How do you move in that direction? You don't see it yet, but you start talking to God about it and start saying, God, what do you think about it? What's your dream? Is this what you want me to have? And the boundary begins to extend before you ever see it. And something starts to happen inside that you get larger inside before you get larger outside. That it's an inside where I remember, anybody remember being over on Appian Way with us? Who in here was in Appian Way with us? A number of folks, Appian Way. Wasn't that wonderful times? I mean, by the time we finished building that building, we had, for one service, we had to have three services on Sunday and two on Wednesday night. And it just blew up. Well, we ended up going to where we are now. But even that crowd, which ended up being fairly large, when we moved in our present building, it was like an ant in a 5-gallon bucket. And it was all this room. And the whole feeling of the room changed. It was the guy who was playing our piano cried the first time we had worship. And I said, "What's wrong with you? Spirit must be moving." He said, "No, I feel so far from the people, I can't even worship." I was praying in the back of the sanctuary one Wednesday afternoon. And I was just walking like this, just praying, talking to the Lord. Asking him what he thought, what was he up to, what he wanted us to do. And I looked up front, and just as clear as anything, I saw people overflowing the building. And something happened on the inside of me. And I knew that we were going to more than one service. I just knew that I knew. An enlargement had taken place inside of me. I saw something. It's like I physically saw the boundary expand. And once it expands on the inside of you, nothing can stop it. Because first, in this particular world, that which is made was made by that which is unseen. I remember Clark Taylor telling me, he said, "Mike, you build a church." He asked me, "How many people you got on the inside of you? How big are you?" Because the church is on the inside of you. And once the church is born in the spirit on the inside of you, nothing can stop it from manifesting on the outside of you. What do you think about? What do you meditate on? What are you believing for? Where is your faith regarding your life and your vision for your life? Where's your faith when it comes, because it's your currency for everything that happens around you. When you think about you now, and you know that God has destiny for you, yes? Everybody, yes? Then that destiny, how does it look to you? Do you have a clear vision of it? Are you believing for it? Do you have a sense God wants to enlarge you in this direction or in that direction? He wants to do something with your family. He wants to enlarge your family, not just in numbers, but enlarge them as people. You have a vision for it. Do you see it? Or is your faith activated for it? Faith, the substance of things hoped for. How about relationships? Are you satisfied with relationships in your life? Then the question, are you believing for relationship boundaries to move? Are you satisfied with your relationships at home? Oh, Lord, no. Oh, Jesus. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because, in part, a lot of people who are Christians, they don't live in a faith-activated world. They're not much different in unbelievers. Because when it comes to faith, when it comes to vision, when it comes to believing, when it comes to that currency that brings the future into being, some people are not very active. And if there's anybody here, I want, by the time you leave here, I want your faith to be so activated until it's not happened by circumstance. It's happened because you're believing for it. It's happened because it's coming out of your mouth. You are saying it. That it's a part of your life. You're living it. You're talking to the Lord about it. You're repeating it over and over again in the day. You aren't watching the news all the time and letting the news fill you up. How many of you know if you watch the news for a certain amount of time inside, you just get depressed? Is that true, yes or no? All right, everybody watch me. Watch me. That's your faith operating in the negative. That's your faith operating in the negative. And what you have to maintain and guard. Listen to me, ladies. What you have to maintain and guard is your head and your emotions. Because if your head goes, your emotions follow it pretty fast. And once that dream goes negative, and once it gets pessimism inside, it's faith working in reverse, and it will work the same way it will in positive. It will bring those things about. Now, according to Scripture, the church is going to be strong, even in the last days. I mean, the book of Acts, when they tried to stop the church, it just exploded. I don't know about you. It wouldn't bother me too much if I could walk by and watch a shadow go over somebody and get them healed. Would that be all right? You know, things are really tough in the world, and Rome's doing a bad job. Money, I ain't got no money, but such as I have, give I thee. Why don't you stand up and walk in the name of Jesus? You know, the church. And so, but that us being children of God, operating, enlarging my territories of relationship so that I get where it goes. It takes my head. It's not going to just automatically happen. My children, money. Does God want to bless you? Anybody here just satisfied and say, okay, I got too much anyway. If you here, I know where you can. We can use it. But does God want to bless you more than he has now? Sure he does. Then what creative ways are he going to give you? How is he going to work that out? He needs to be some way that you're cooperating with him so that God can get a hold of your faith and open something up and give you answers for what you want. What he's put in your heart, what he's put down deep. Are you satisfied with your happiness? Are you happy enough? I love the clip on the Tombstone. Y'all, this is women. Y'all never watch Tombstone. Some of you watch Tombstone?
Yeah, I love it.
Uh-huh. You remember when Wyatt with that little gal and they had their first ride and they're off and having a little picnic, and she looks over at Wyatt and he says, "Wyatt, you happy?" And you look like you just slapped him. He's as happy as the next man. You happy? Could you handle your boundaries expanding just a little more happy? Do you ever think about it? Do you ever talk to the Lord about it? Do you ever ask him, why am I happy? What would it take to expand my, how could I move from a 5 happiness to a 7, Lord? What would that look like? What would it have to change in my thinking? What would have to change so that now I allow happiness and joy and your peace to come into my life? I bet he'd tell you if you ask him. Look at Zechariah chapter 9 with me. Zechariah chapter 9. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of what? Zechariah 9:12. 11. Did I shoot you 12? Okay. Why didn't you? Here you go. Y'all have to listen then. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. Prisoners of hope. Oh, Lord, isn't that just terrible? Isn't that just absolutely just terrible? Come here, Deborah, let me borrow you for a moment. I want you to watch Deborah just watch. Look at her, she's dragging her leg. She's got a ball and chain. Come on, she's got a ball and chain. You know what she is chained to? Hope. Pulling around, destined, because God has put a ball around your ankle, and it's called hope. Now, that's what God wants for us. Thank you, Dad. That's what God wants for us. And we have to totally get out of touch with that truth and reality to stay miserable. The truth is, he wants to do that. But here's what I think happens. I think if you take our life and the vision God has for us, And then say, then understand, God said, I've got things I want to give you. There's an inheritance for you. But you've got to participate. I need your head. I need your mechanism I built inside of you to believe. I need your faith. I need you this to happen. It's just like when the Lord called Dean and I to Charleston. I remember when he said, Mike, now you're ready to do what I've called you to do. And it was to birth a church. But when he says, I'm going to call you to Charleston, do you know that what I understood him to be saying? That I'm going to use a man and a woman, and I'm going to speak to them and build faith in them, and they're going to go. And because of their faith, then people who are praying for a church and having faith for one already, I'm going to join them with you. Those who I'm going to put together as a body, all the folks who are believing, and they don't even know what's ahead, but they just have a heart that is believing toward the future for them. I'm going to bring them together. And by faith, we're going to take one step. And then we're going to take another step that's going to be bigger. And then another step. Why? Because God wants us to go and follow him, but he also wants us to develop. And when God wants to develop us, it's always developing us to be bigger. Bigger on the inside. Be able to believe for more. To be able just to have faith. I mean, could you imagine, those of you who are at Appian Way, what if we'd have sat around the table when we were at Appian Way and say, y'all, let's just pray right now. Let's pray and believe that Christmas, we're going to have over 6,000 people. Y'all with me? Couldn't have done it. But you journey where we journeyed, and you take the developmental stage we've taken, and now the faith is there for it to happen. But how many of you know, if we would have never, ever focused our faith, never believed him, never listened to what he was saying, that it just wouldn't emerge out of the ground? Now, friends, that's your life. And here's what I think happens. I think what happens is, I think we just put some things that's not working aside. We tried this and we put it aside. Relationship didn't happen well and we just slid it aside. And the next thing you know, a number of the things around us, instead of hope arising inside of us with hopeful expectation, everybody listen, we just let it die. And instead of being hopeful, you probably never address it. You probably never look at it and say, I am hopeless. But the truth is, if you look back at when the last time you spoke life over that area, engaged in a conversation with God about it, and really had to say, God, I want some expectation that's alive in me. You can't remember the last time you've done it. But you just don't think. And next thing you know, you have these areas of your life that's not activated. And I'm believing God for reactivation tonight. Tonight, there is going to be an awakening. Tonight, some things God has for you that's been just lying there, I believe he's going to come stimulate and begin to breathe life into. And the reason that's so important is because how many of you right now are standing in a place where when you look at something, it is not what you want? Anybody here in the house at all? Huh? All right, okay, everybody watch this. Hope. If you don't have hope, then you don't have expectation for that thing. And the way that thing feels is not good. The way it looks is not good. The way it smells is not good. And so what gets inside of your system is something that's not good. It's not fueling you in life. You know, it's not a part of God's solution to get you somewhere. It's not something that keeps you strong. You look at it, and it dictates to you how you feel. Hope says, oh, I see you. But that's just a phase right there. Because I have a high expectation. I'm believing for something. I'm hopeful, and that hopefulness gives me energy. And that's part of what the way God set up this whole thing to work. Is that we would read his word and you'd be in a place where you just didn't understand or just didn't know. And now that word which is alive. It was interesting because my spiritual mom was in church on this past Sunday. Becky from down in Hemingway. And Becky is, when I was late in my teen years, I met her. And she was just a real radical lady and just really helped me get on board and really got Dean and I connected. You know, she really did that thing and connected us. And she is 87 years old now, still doing small groups, still working around. And she called me up and said, "Mike, I got this couple I got to bring you." And I said, "Why?" Becky says, "I'm at the end of my rope." I said, "Well, Becky, if you're at the end of your rope, something bad wrong, because, you know, she's a tough gal." She said, "Well, they're from Venezuela. He is working on his master's in English and just really a bright kid. They had two children right here in America. He's teaching at the high school, teaching teachers how to teach. His wife is working on her PhD as a mechanical engineer. And they had this extension, which was 2 years. It's running up in July. And I've been in touch with everybody from Tim Scott to everybody else. And I can't get anybody to help them stay. And they take their kids back there. They're killing Christians in the places where they're going. And it takes four hours in line to get a diaper. And they just can't go back. So I'm going to bring them to you Sunday." I said, "Bring them on, Becky." So she loads up, 87 years old. She's bringing this couple, you know, come to sit down and come to find. I said, "What do you want to do with your life?" I said, "Tell me about, what do you see happening? I mean, you're teaching, obviously, you're getting a master's degree." He said, "My dream is to become a pastor." And Becky stopped him and said, she says, "Let me tell you, when that boy shares, he brings the presence. Not only that," she says, "he can lead worship like crazy. He can just do a great job leading worship." And I'm sitting there thinking, I've been dreaming about a Spanish church. Dean says, "We could do a Spanish church on Sunday afternoon." Now, all that would just happen. I don't know anything to come out of that. All I'm telling you is that's fertile ground of how God works. He just begins to connect people. You keep it alive. You dream it. You think it. If you let it go where the enemy, our life circumstances, begins to dictate everything inside of you, then instead of faith, it'll be doubt. Instead of you being alive on the inside, you'll be dead. There won't be much life inside of you. Soul life is not very fun. Spirit life is what gives you that extra edge. Spirit life is when you're 87 and you still get a kick out of doing the things of God and you're still trying to make a difference in life. You're not consumed with yourself. You know? And so, but the key for hope is it says, when you're looking in the middle of the face of something that if you listen to the voice, it would say, "God's not real and he's not coming through for you." And you look dead at it and you said, "Yes, he will. He's got a record of coming through. Now it may be 11:59, but my hope says God's gonna come through." Now, you know why that translates inside of me as far as life? That makes me feel pretty doggone good. Because if you don't have that, then what you feel like is you feel the message, and the message is there is no hope. And when you feel there's no hope, you don't have much energy and you don't have much life. So that's why we have to look at these boundaries. Now, there's not any, whatever you and I are going through right now, how many of you think it's surprising God? Now, he won't let you go through anything you can't handle. Yes? There's a way out, right? According to what happened, if Israel is the type, let's just look at Israel for a moment. How many of you remember the story when Israel is coming out of Egypt? They're coming out and they've been slaves, yes? They're coming out and all of a sudden they face all these huge armies. And God says, "We got a problem, Houston. Here's the problem. If I let them face too much at a time, then they'll get discouraged and go back in." You remember the story? So what does God do? God leads them a different route. Now watch this. He leads them a different route so they encounter what they need to encounter that will not destroy them, but that will produce them and grow them. Nothing that exceeds their faith, their hope, so that they could get there. Now, what does that tell you about God? If you're going through it, then he fully intended you've had victory in it. If he had not, if there was a chance you couldn't go through it, then he'd have led you a different route. But he didn't lead you a different route. So that tells me that whatever you're going through now, that there is hope in it if we dial it up and look for it. And part of what we have to do, friends, is do exactly what we did tonight. How many of you enjoyed when you heard the testimony of how God's setting her free? Didn't that just do your spirit good? You know what that is? That's hope. What we did is we dumped a little hope in you, dumped a little faith in you, dumped a story, just like the stories in the Bible about God coming through, and something ignited in you and said, maybe that's true. Maybe that's true for me. And something became a little lighter inside of you. The burden just diminished a small bit. And then you had Virginia come up. Lord, if he can snatch a boy out of Kentucky, bring him down here and take two grown adults who've already been through a marriage themselves and cause them to be such lovebirds and good night and produce children. Oh, mercy. If God can do all that, then maybe God can come. You see it? Just a hope. And that's what it takes. But if it would have been too much, so where are you right now? Think back with me for a year. Has God done anything else for anybody in the year last year? Whitney, has God done something for you?
Yes, sir.
Besides a baby, which is how wonderful is that? Miracles.
A 2-pound baby to an
11-pound baby. Exactly right. And just how you feeling in general? God has just done a miracle. He just made your husband just so incredibly loving and sweet and kind.
Perfect.
Miracle, I'm telling you. Anybody else God done for in the last year? Has God done something for anybody? Just the piano. You don't have to holler out. He's done something really for you, like just really special?
Yes, gave me a daughter that I thought was, I would never see again. And a granddaughter that came out of my
heart. Yay, God. God done anything for anybody on this side this last year? Has God sustained anybody over here? Without his sustaining power, you would have been pushed over the edge.
Brought my son down here. First time in 12 years, all my boys are together.
First time in 12 years. Yay, God. Yay, God. Stephanie, has God sustained you, huh? Yeah, huh? Just gave all kind of strength, and you're still believing, and we're believing with you. But you've made it another year?
Got a house.
Oh, I just happened to forget about that. Okay. Yep. Is God faithful? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, did you see it? Everybody pause for a moment. Pause. When you came to this retreat, and you measure the level inside of you of hope and faith, has it grown? Just a little bit since you've been here. Why? Part of the why is what you're putting in, is the stories you're hearing. And part of what's happening inside of you is this thing, is the way it's supposed to happen. That's the reason he said, don't forsake the getting together. Because you need this to happen. Now, if you notice... If by the way, pause. If you and I would stop and think, at any point during my life, I don't care what, how down or how terrible things look, if I would stop, get me a piece of paper, me and you, Janine, walk up to the wall, and say, let's just start writing miracles we've seen God do. By the time we finish writing those miracles, with the bottom line, wherever I was, I could look at that wall and I could take what's on that wall and make application here and says hope is alive. Hope is alive. But the reason we don't do that is we don't stop. And we let our head go in other directions. And then what starts to happen is, watch this, what starts to happen is what you see that at one point looked hopeless, you absorb that into your system. At one point, what seemed hopeless, now goes into your system. And the next thing you know, you're not a faith person activated and moving in God and believing and releasing words of faith. It's all clouded up and raining on the inside. And then your faith is damaged. And doubt wins. Doubt wins. Now, what I want to do is, I want to go back. Just go back to that scripture in Zephaniah. I want to point out one word, if we could, as he goes back to it. I look what it says. Return to the what? Now, ladies, I want y'all to listen to me now. You prisoners of hope. Prisoner of hope. Expectation going to happen, but they're not yet, right? There's still hope. But where are you going to find, that breakthrough that's going to be restored double to you? Where are you going to find it? This is so incredibly important. It's in the stronghold. And the stronghold is not, this is not the enemy's stronghold. This is the Lord's stronghold. Everybody look at me. You're going to find that breakthrough, the end of faith among women, men and women that are part of your stronghold that now will bring not just one anointing, not one story of hope, but it's a collaboration of hope. We are lively stones built together. And when we come together like this, friends, it's this gelling that brings such a chance of a breakthrough. Your hope is manifested. And there's double. Let me ask you one question. Is the enemy stole anything from you? Think, has he stole anything? Have you risen up inside and said, wait a minute? Zephaniah said there's a way that when the enemy steals from you, that God in the stronghold can give you double payment back. I just might release my faith for that. You stole it, and I'm just declaring in Jesus' name you're going to return it, and I'm going to get double back. Activated faith. You know, this thing started stirring in me back at the first of the year. And as it started, it kept on stirring in me. I went to Dean, and I said, Dean, let me just ask you something. Let me ask you a what-if question. Because I'm thinking about getting my faith out there. I'm thinking about I'm a faith person. I'm in God's image. And so what am I believing? What am I thinking these days? What's going into my mind? As this person, what's my future look like and what's God saying? And so I said to her, I said, just what if? What if from right now until the day we die were our best days on planet Earth? She looked at me like I was a drunk something. I said, what if we had more quality of life right now to the day we die than we've had all the way up to this point? I said, what if our marriage was better from now until we died than it was these 41 years? She says, well, we'd have to go. And I said, we would, but what if? The point I made with it is, what are you believing for? What am I believing for? If you're going to believe for something, why not believe for that? Well, Mike, you may not hit it. It may not be the best it's ever been. But it's going to be better than it was if I don't believe anything. It's going to be better than it was if I just drift. I mean, it's going to be better if I get it out there. And I told her, I said, what if we had 41 years of a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful marriage? I mean, she just could not have had a better husband. It's just been wonderful for her. She really deserves some kind of pin or something, I'm telling you. As most of you women do. But I said, what if God would unlock something that would allow the richness of life, however you say richness, or whatever that composes, whatever it tastes like, for your inside level to rise so that like a food tastes richer, it just tastes a little better. You know what I mean? It's what if God, through the past years of experience and wisdom or whatever it is, or just by his grace, would bump our life up a notch and it would just be better. And that way we could live more from now to that time we die than 41 years. Are y'all with me? Because it's twice as sweet. Huh? Yeah. It's just, so I said to her, why not? Of course, you know what she says. If you're game, I'm game. I said, well, let's go, baby. Let's do it. All right. Real quick, let me kind of take us to where we can end. The children of Israel. What the enemy used on them over and over again, which I think is a perfect time for us, always he used intimidation. He used fear. He just used stuff as this to taunt them and harass them. So it got in their head to the point they said that we look like grasshoppers and they look like giants. That's the name. That's the goal, guys. The goal is to get in your head, get in your heart, and cause everything to get so big and God get so small. When in fact, who's the biggest? God. We know that when we're sober. But when you look at these things and you start losing hope and now they come in and you breathe in that air, it feels like he's not, because right now he's not doing what you think he should. But right now, he's developing you. Right now, he's seeing if you're going to hang in there. Right now, he's seeing if you're going to be trustworthy. Right now, he's building your muscle of patience. Right now, he's watching you because you're growing. Something's happening in you. Then finally, when he comes through after 12 years, he knows you can stand the test and you can rejoice that now not only have you got your prayer answered, but you've developed. You're not the same woman you was 12 years ago. And that's exactly what he wants to grow us and develop us. Because, and what Israel had to do, which is part of what we have to do as well, is Israel has to go back and they have to get centered again and be reminded of this. Remember the scripture I read you in Genesis about the land being given to them? Is land being given to you, so to speak? Your future, yes? He has boundaries for you, yes? Have you met those boundaries yet? No. So is God leading you? Yes. So children of Israel, you need to stay in touch with the fact that you are his chosen people. That when he's leading you to victory. He's leading you on to a place that you're in covenant with God Almighty. You're married to him. Your husband, so to speak, your father that you're in covenant with is God Almighty. He's the one who stands with you. I mean, you listen to this. Listen to this. It's a promise to them. This is even in the old covenant. The Lord God will set you high above the nations. This is Deuteronomy 28. You will experience all the blessings if you obey the Lord. Your towns and your fields will be what? Okay, everybody say it with me. Say, my towns. My fields will be blessed. Are you in covenant with God? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right, this is going to happen. And watch this. Why don't you just read it with me? Read it with me. Your children and your crops will be blessed. Everybody look at me. What are your crops? It'd be wonderful if you garden, but that's not that agrarian. Now it is your work. What you put your hand to, your labor will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks, your children will be blessed. The fruit of the baskets and the breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, what? Look at the person at the table, you sit three or four of them and say, I don't know about you, I'm blessed. Tell them, I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed. All right, we're covenant men and women. We're sons and daughters. God's made us promise. Everybody look at me. This whole book is full of promises. Thousands of them. Things he's given his children. Things he's promised his children. And he's given us the mind, the mechanisms to believe and have faith. But having, but creating that so that you are aware of his presence. So that when we start to sing, Denton, if you just come and play, when we start to worship, anybody here felt the presence of God since we've been here? Okay, just hang with me for a moment. Okay, I've come in. God's omnipresent. He's everywhere at one time, yes? But since I've been here, the general presence has increased voltage and is stronger at times. During worship, his presence increases. There you are, Lord. With your presence now comes your strength. So I receive it. With your presence comes that loving of me that needs to be ministered to, that you love me. Your presence is here. In God's presence is his mind. Lord, your mind is here. And I know that there's areas that I am not aligned with you. And your mind is here. So right now, while I worship you, I allow you, will you come? And will you change my mind? I know you do it as I read the word, but would you now, because your presence is here, and when I sense your presence and just give myself to you, your mind is here. I'm your daughter, and you got promises and things you have for me that I need to be awakened to. I need to fight for. As your daughter, I believe in you. As your daughter, I trust you. Right now, as I am in your presence, I just allow you to, would you take, first of all, I'm sorry for watching so much of that stupid news stuff anyway. I'm sorry for just giving my head to stuff that's so contradicts your word. I know, I just open myself up. But your presence is here. And because your presence is here, there's nothing that's impossible. Your presence Lord, I want to absorb you almost, as it were, into my system. Into areas where I just have kept you from. I just take a deep breath and just fill me. Fill me with your spirit, afresh and anew. Fill me, Lord. Come, just fill me. We've come away now as ladies, and we want to spend some time with you. Come. Lord, as I take a look at my life and just the boundaries and where they are, where are you saying to enlarge? Where are you saying, okay, this is an area I need you just to begin to pray about and think about and let me speak into and let it enlarge? What area has the enemy built some things about your future that you just need to take charge of and just say, that's a lie? Oh, this is what's going to happen to you. This is what your future looks like. And there's no hope, no faith in it, no life in it at all. That you just need to stop right now and look at that thing and renounce it in Jesus' name. And you, I'm not believing that anymore. You will not occupy that part of my mind in the name of Jesus. I will not die early. I will have relationships that are fulfilling. I will have friends. I will have fulfillment in life. And I accept the promises of God my Father, and I reject your lies, Satan.